And, it just is an exciting message series to go through because God is so awesome and so wonderful and so much beyond what we are, worthy to be praised. So we're going to pick up four of these this morning, and we're already 20 of, so I'm just putting that out there so you guys know. I'll probably be about half hour. We got lunch afterwards, so hang on, food's coming. Don't even want to be passing out from hunger. So I'm going to go through these probably pretty quick and pull up a few verses in these things. Let the Word of God reveal God to us. And it's really imperative for us to go to the Scriptures to find out who God is. Because oftentimes you talk to people and you ask them what they believe about God and they have their own kind of ideas. And oftentimes the God we create is kind of the God that's kind of like us. Right? I want a God who likes the same things I do. I want a God who condemns, not me, but everyone around me, but I want him to lift me up and say, hey, I'm okay. Right? That's kind of God I want. And that's kind of a God that, unfortunately, sort of modern American Christianity really promotes. And instead of looking at what the Scripture says, is God reveals himself to us. So the first thing we're going to look at this morning is a real fancy word, throw it out at parties, you really impress people, that God is immutable. Immutable. That's a word we use every day, isn't it? Actually, it's real simple, it just means God does not change. God does not change. Malachi tells us this, for I am the Lord, I do not change, therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. And here, God had promised Israel certain promises. And because God doesn't change, he doesn't change his mind, right? In here, he didn't consume Israel, even because of their sin, because of the promise he made. So we think of this idea of something that doesn't change, that is solid, that is immutable, and how that really is an encouragement to us. We live in a world of sifting sand. We live in a world where everything is changing. Definitions are changing. It seems like daily. Try to keep up. Over the years, many people have said, oh, what we need is a new gospel. You know, kind of leave the old religion behind, and we need something new. We need sort of a new, updated Bible that goes along with us. I don't know if you guys saw this on Facebook. I'm not sure who put it out. But now you can buy the Bible in Klingon for you all you Trekkies out there, right? I don't know if it's the New King James Klingon or the old King, New King, I don't know. But you buy it in Klingon. Anyone here speak Klingon? I didn't think so. But the latest one I saw is that you can buy the Bible that speaks in pirate. That speaks in pirate. I don't even know what that means. Right? But when we're trying to repackage Christianity, and something that's more palatable, something that's more encouraging, right? Something that goes with the flow. I've shared with you guys before that I have a gentleman here in town. I consider him a friend. He is not a believer, and he told me, "You know what? You know how you get more people in your church?" I said, "Well, sure. You know what?" He goes, "You know, just drop the whole Jesus is God thing." He goes, "Just drop that and just tell people how to live a good life, but that Jesus is God thing is just kind of crazy for some people. You just need to drop that." And I kind of looked at him and I said, well, that's kind of the whole purpose of all this. Right? That's what it's about. The Bible says every good gift and perfect gift comes from above, comes down from the Father of light, whom there is no shadow variation or shadow of turning, right? God does not change. It isn't like, oh, if you look at me in this way a little bit, you see sometimes people will try to explain away what the Bible says, but they try to get into the sort of the minutiae of it, right? You know, well, this word kind of can mean, and they all of a sudden you're twisting and you're shifting, and all of a sudden it no longer says what it says. God's not like that. There is no variation with God. God has declared who he is,
from the beginning of time, in eternity past, God has not changed. And that becomes such a comfort for us. It really is. Because of that, because of all the promises he has said, he will keep. Why? Because he does not change. That God says, look, this is what's acceptable, this is what's not acceptable. That is a really blessing for us, because it's not like, oh, you know, today, what's acceptable, what's not, right? God's word is true. I can read it. Your parents read it. Your grandparents read it. Thousands of years ago, people read this, had the word of God. Hold it as true. It does not change. And the people who find that offensive are the ones who want to find a way for it to condone what they want. God's word does not change because God does not change. That God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. As he said, and he will not do. And has he spoken, and will he not make it good? All the promises. This morning we celebrated communion, right? Jesus said, this is my blood, this is my body for the remission of sins. That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm thankful that when I stand before the Lord, he says, why should I let you in? Not because of what I have done, all because of what he has done. And that promise is just as secure today as it was the day he saved me. Because he does not change. That he is that beacon. He is that compass in our lives that we can set in that direction. My heart breaks for our country, because we've thrown off all direction of right and wrong. And we're all left to our own devices. I really pity the children who are growing up in this society. Because truly, there are no guardrails. There is no right and wrong. And there's destruction on that path. Is it any wonder so many are suffering from mental anguish, depressions? Because we've wandered from our Creator for something new, something shiny. Praise God that He is immutable. God does not change. Even on a personal level, right? I worked with a gentleman. And it was, things were kind of slow, and we were just kind of talking. And at that time, I was in Bible school, and so we started talking about religion. And he goes, well, I got my own religion. He goes, me and God have something worked out just between us. I was like, wow, you're pretty special. Like, God has his own little set of rules just for you. Right? And he goes, I figured if I just keep the Ten Commandments, I'll go to heaven. I said, well, how are you doing on that? Right? You know, you ever told a lie? Well, you know, and I knew the guy, I said, actually, Jesus said that, you know, if you look at a woman with lust, that's the same thing as adultery. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust? And so it's funny, after about 5 minutes of just kind of talking back and forth, he came down to, and I said, well, we're down to, like, you know, we're down to five so far, you know. If I only keep these five, right? But it just struck me that he was, I don't want to say arrogant, and that's really what it comes down to. I think it's an arrogant of ourselves that God is going to change to my whims. That I'm going to make God in my image. No. God is who he says he is. He does not change, but he is rock solid. He is faithful in all these things because he does not change. Second thing, I thought I'd tell you we were going to kind of go through these kind of quick. So, the second thing we look at, the God is sovereign. The sovereignty of God. And we look at what this means is that God is the supreme ruler. He's the supreme ruler.
The psalmist says it best. He says, sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. That our God is above all else. There is no authority over Him. He is sovereign. His word is fast and sure. Because He is King of Kings and He is the Lord of Lords, also He is able to do what He wants. For our God is in heaven, and He does whatever He pleases. You cannot stop God. I cannot stop Him. The world cannot stop Him. All the plans of man, right? Right now in Augusta, there are those who are scheming and planning. Down in Washington, D.C., behind closed doors, they're gathering in and pulling all their little levers of power. Let me tell you, they have nothing compared to the sovereignty of our God. He will accomplish what He says. I love how these all kind of blend, right? God doesn't change. His promises are true. But He's sovereign means He has the ability and power to make them all happen. You know, I can make you a promise all day long. I can say, you know what? I'll meet you tomorrow at 8 o'clock for breakfast. Actually, I should add, if the Lord wills, because you know what? A lot can happen between now and then. I can get home, trip over my cat, and hurt and break my leg, and I won't be there tomorrow morning. Right? And my cat would laugh at me. I have an evil cat. I don't know if you're on Facebook, I posted a picture of, right? And I think it was Ellen's like, that cat looks annoyed with you. That is what he looks like. He is constantly, you guys don't, he's gotten to a point now at my daughter's bedtime. He comes down now, he comes down the stairs, stands in the middle of the room, and looks at us all like, hello, it's her bedtime, get her going. Right? I don't have the ability or power to make things happen. Even the promises, I can try to, right, if the Lord wills, but there's so much that can happen along the way. Because I am limited. I change. I am not sovereign. You are not the God of your own life. And I think we've taught, especially as a nation, that you are the God of your own life. God is sovereign. The Bible says, declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient of times, things that are not yet done. It says, my counsel will stand and I will do all my pleasure. What God has said, He will do. It's interesting when Bible says Tuesday night, I'll make a plug. Come on out. Tuesday night, 6:30. We're going to the book of Revelation. And it gets kind of scary, kind of what's going to happen. But we read it because the Bible tells us that there's a blessing to those who read this book. So we are, actually it's the only book of the Bible that we are promised a blessing if we read it. So we should be in it. But the question came out and goes, you know, I believe as a church we won't be here for the tribulation. And so the question is, well, why are we reading this? Because it's true. It shows us the sovereignty of God. That God says everything that's in this book will happen as He said He is. He is sovereign. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And no one on this earth can stop what He wants. We see that God's will, the sovereignty of God cannot be thwarted, right? The will of man's free will does not negate the sovereignty of God. And people start arguing of this. Right? We talk about free will versus God's sovereignty. Both are true. The Bible tells us both are true. Now we are not just little robots. God gives us a choice. And I think one of the big aspects of free will in our lives is that God wants to have a relationship with you. And relationships demand a free will. Right? If we loved God only because we had to, that would not be love. Right? I could take my daughter, I could pin her down, I could twist her arm, and I could say, "Say you love me," and I could make her say it. But how much would it mean? Nothing. You know, she's 14 years old now, and she can still crawl on my lap, and she'll bat her little eyes and say, "Dad, I love you," and my heart just go boom, 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 boom. Right? The difference is it's her choice. And actually, after 14 years, my first thing is kind of like, "Okay, what do you want?" Right? "What do you want?" "Nothing." It's like, okay. You know, she's not quite as evil as the cat. But we see this. And the amazing thing is we talk about the sovereignty of God, right? We talk about He doesn't change, but we talk about that God is all powerful, that God is able to still accomplish His will by using my will. God is able to make all things work together for good. That God is so awesome and so powerful that I'm allowed my will, and yet He is able to use my will for His glory. That's an awesome thing. It's kind of scary sometimes because we talk the idea of free will means sometimes that we will choose not to do the right thing. And there are many who choose not to love God. And even that, God can use them for His honor and His glory. If you've been reading through your Bible, if you've been in your, on your list, you just went through where Joseph was in Egypt. His brother was going to kill him. They threw him in a well. They brought him out and they sold him. And he ended up being a slave in Egypt. And years later, he eventually became high up in the Egyptian government. And during a famine, his brothers came. And it's interesting because once they found out who Joseph was, they're like, "Oh no, Joseph's going to be angry with us and he's going to kill us because of all the things and how we treated him." And Joseph says an amazing thing. Because you meant it for evil, but God used all these things for good. See, the wickedness of the brothers, right? They had their plan, their scheme. They thought they had it all. And yet God was still in control. God used their free will for His glory. And we look at what's going on. We're told to pray for those in authority over us. We're told to pray for those in Washington. We're told to pray for our selectmen. We're told to pray for those in Augusta and Washington, right? We lift them up in prayers that God would open their eyes, that they will have wisdom and discernment from Him. We pray for all these things. At the end of the day, though, they will give an account to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Our governor will bow her knee. Our president will fall on his face before the Almighty God and have to give an account. Praise God, our God is sovereign. Amen? He knows what He's doing. Nothing catches Him by surprise. You know, years ago I came up with saying, you know, God does not have a plan B because He doesn't need one. All that's happening now, God knows and has already factored in. We talk about that God is sovereign. We talk about God is immutable. The next characteristic I want to look at is God is wise. God is wise. I mean, last week we looked at it, God is all-knowing. God knows all things. Knowledge and wisdom are two different things. Right? You guys experience this, right? You probably know someone who is pretty book smart, but pretty street foolish. Right? They have all the facts and numbers and everything in here, but they make really, how you apply it often falls into foolishness. See, God's wisdom shows that God knows how to apply His knowledge. Romans tells us, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. In our lives, even when we pray these requests, right, we went through I'll use baby Gus. We're praying for baby Gus. And Lord, I can say, you know, Lord, you know, take care of this. And here's this problem and all that. Most of what Gus needs, I have no idea. But I know a God who does. Right? And sometimes we've turned prayer into this really warped thing. Almost like a magic formula. I remember back in the day, I'm going to really tell how old I am. Does anyone remember there used to be a computer that came out with the Commodore VIC-20? Is anyone? No one. Oh, Paul, thank you. All right, I don't feel so alone. It was like an early computer in the 80s. I saved up like a whole summer, bought this thing, and you had to sit there and program. The language was basic. And so you had to type in, and I spent hours. This is something wrong with me. I should be out playing in the streets. But I sat there for hours typing in all this code to make a little program, right? And you have several pages of code, and you hit enter, and you have a little ball that would bounce across the screen. I was like, woo-hoo, wow! There's a game. It took me, I was almost a month, almost all my spare time, typing in code. And after a month, I was all excited. I was all finally all done. And I hit enter, and it's an error online, blah, blah, blah. Because I typed something wrong. And then, I was so many errors in this whole thing that I could not get it to work. All this time and energy because I made one little space difference. Or because I put an O instead of a zero, right? And eventually, it didn't work at all. And somehow, I think we think prayer is kind of that way. Right? If I don't pray exactly for the right thing, it won't happen. Right? I can't tell you how many times I've gotten the wrong date. Right? I'm praying for someone for surgery on the 16th, and come to find out they had it on the 15th. Right? Did God hear that prayer? Yeah. Did I throw him off? I mean, if I'm really honest, and I think you've done this too, have you ever prayed the wrong name for someone? Right? A lot of people ask me to pray, I'll pray, and pray for Sally, and somehow I got Sarah in my mind, so I've been praying for Sarah. And God's like, I'd like to help, but man, he addressed it wrong. He said it wrong. Do you think God's that way? No, God is wise. He knows. He understands our frailties and our shortcomings. And so in all these things, may we come to him. Lord, according to your will. Right? Lord, I want what you want. Here's my desire, but Lord, your will be done because your ways are higher than my ways. I trust you. You know what you're doing. Oh, Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all, and the earth is full of your possessions. I kind of cringe. Channel 2 has been doing a whole big thing on global warming, the climate change thing. And it's interesting because they're pulling off data, and it seems to be some things to it. But I always get scared at the solution. Because I don't know if you've heard this. There's a group of scientists that want to take little metal flakes and shoot them up into the atmosphere all around the world to reflect some of the sunlight away to cool us down. And this may sound like a great science fiction novel thing, but I'm like, you know what? I don't think our scientists have the wisdom to know exactly how much to put up, right? Of what the right place to do it, right? Who thinks that we understand enough to make it all happen, right? Foolishness on our part. Right? I remember, how many years ago was it that, I think it was the University of Maine, released all the ladybugs? Do you remember that? I mean, we were living in Knox at the time. And I don't know, there's like a bajillion ladybugs they let loose. And because they were trying to take care of another little bug, and the ladybug eats it. And so they released all these, right? And I remember coming out, and we were at Knox at the time, came out of my house, and on the south side of my house was all ladybugs, right? And it was funny, they came out and said, well, you know, it didn't quite work the way we thought it would, because we didn't calculate in, right? I always get kind of, maybe because I grew up reading science fiction, I'm like, I know all the things that can go wrong. Who thinks this is a good idea? Right? Because we've become so arrogant in our wisdom that we neglected the wisdom of God. And God's ways are higher than our ways. That there is no end to His understanding and His wisdom. And I praise God in our lives. Christians, the Bible encourages us, if any of you lack wisdom, what should you do? Trust in yourself? No, the Bible says, look, lean not on your own understanding. But what? On all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. James tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Christian, I want to encourage you, rely on the wisdom of God and seek Him out that His will be done. Right? Lord, how should I apply this to my life? What should I do? Lord, give me your wisdom. And I'm thankful He shares that with us all along the way. I got one more. Then I'll be done, and then we can have lunch. The last thing we're going to look at is God is faithful. God is faithful. It means God does what He says He's going to do. He is trustworthy. You know, this is an election year. There's a lot of politicians who are making a lot of promises. And over the years, maybe I've become more cynical, but does anyone actually believe that these politicians are going to do what they say they're going to do? No. God's not that way. As we read His word, His promises are true. As we see about His sovereignty, as He lays things out, things are going to work out as He says they were. Everything that God says He will accomplish, He will accomplish. He is faithful. You can say, you know, God, I don't understand how you're going to make this all work out, but I trust you will. There's a lot about the Bible I don't understand. But I trust in Him who wrote it. I'm thankful. It says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Sounds like a hymn we sing, doesn't it? You know, the Lord says your sins are forgiven. Guess what? They're forgiven. If He says that you are His child, guess what? You are His child. If He says He's gone away to prepare a place for you and I will come back, guess what? He's gone to prepare a place for you and He will come back. Because God is faithful. Sometimes we wrestle with the time. Because God's time is not my time. Right? I want it now. I want instant results. But Christian, don't doubt His faithfulness. I believe the Lord is coming back because He says He's going to. I know if this is today. I know if it's tomorrow. But I know He will. Because He said so. And God is faithful. And I want to encourage you as we get ready to leave that you hang your hat on God's faithfulness. Because nothing is too hard for Him. Nothing is too difficult. Nothing is beyond His sovereignty or His ability, outside of His wisdom. All these things. This is the one I wanted to leave you with at the end. Because at the end of the day, God will do everything He said He will do. And He can. He is able. He is the great I am. And He is faithful. For the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. No temptation has overcome you, such as is common to man. With each temptation, he will provide a way of escape. God's faithful. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth, and it abides. Your word is settled in heaven. The Bible says not a jot or tittle, not even a cross T or a dotted I will not come to pass. God will accomplish it all. Like I said, this year I'm really going to be pushing, be in the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As I read the promises, as I read the accounts, God will do all that he says. He is able to, but he will do it because God is faithful. I want to encourage you. I want to strengthen you in all these things. Because God does not change. God is still on the throne. His wisdom knows no end, and he is faithful. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for who you are, Lord, that you have revealed yourself to us. Lord, help us take you as you describe yourself, Lord, not to try to recreate you in our image, Lord. Oh, we are so faulted, and you are perfect. Lord, I pray you help us to be in the Word, be strengthened by it. Because, Lord, you will accomplish it all. You are faithful. Lord, we thank you for the lunch that we have, you provided for us. May this fellowship be sweet, because you're at the center of it all. Lord, we ask these things in all in your name. God's people said, Amen.